we like to do things by the numbers. We're all about commerce and community. Welcome to The Upswing, presented by Oricon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Now for the host that's always on The Upswing, Jeff Sherman.
Now, to business, gentlemen.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, Milwaukee. The Upswing. All business, all the time. Thankful that Rich Kirchen, senior reporter at the Milwaukee Business Journal, joins us this morning. Rich, heading into Labor Day weekend here. Gas Buddy data shows 8 states now have average gas prices below $3, just in time for Labor Day travels. Mississippi coming in the lowest at $2.84. Oklahoma at $2.86, all the way up to Alabama at about $2.93. What are you paying at the pump these days? What are you seeing?
I think I'm going to drive to Oklahoma this week.
That's right.
Save some
a couple
money.
Bucks. That's a good.
I made the mistake of buying gas on Monday. I didn't know the prices were going down so much. I think it was $3.15 a gallon at the Clark Station on 76th and Blue Mound, and I thought I was getting a good price.
But, all right. Yeah. I saw $2.97 at Lisbon Gas. It's up on about like 87th and Lisbon. But according to AAA Wisconsin, we're still looking at an average gas price in the area at like $3.22. Although I saw $3.09 this morning at Mobile on Capitol Drive. So I think we're still in that like $2.99 to $3.20 range for sure.
Yeah, I've seen some, $3.0, $3.05, $3.0. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, good thing is I drive an EV. I have 2.4 gallons to put in that car, so it's not costing me a whole lot. Maybe $8 to fill it up. That's good. All right.
I feel your pain.
Thank you. As we do each and every morning, two up. Two stories that I'm seeing in the business world around the area and the country. First up, QR code kickoff. I don't know if you saw this. It is the college football kickoff weekend. Actually started last weekend, but a ton of games on the docket this weekend. The QR code is back for sure. COVID was really good for the QR code. Got us all over our menus. Didn't have to touch a screen or anything, only our own screens. But college football's back and QR codes are coming to helmets. The Wall Street Journal yesterday, reporter Jason Gay had a great story saying QR codes that I was just talking about are coming to college football. Here's what's happening at Oklahoma State. OSU team helmets have a way for you, the fan, to help players through NIL, which is name, image, and likeness that the NCAA uses to raise funds for programs. QR codes right on the back of helmets. Jason Gay writes, "Behold the era of the digital college football tip jar. Credit where credit's due. What an ingenious marketing stunt in the lawless landscape of modern college sports. A couch potato like yours truly, perhaps inspired by a Cowboy touchdown or a pick six interception, will be able to point a phone camera at a QR code on the back of an OSU helmet. Maybe you stop the DVR for a moment and pause. Click on a link and you send cash immediately to your favorite school for an NIL fund that's earmarked for everyone on the roster. Pretty creative. Pick, click, done. I love creativity and marketing. Kudos to OSU for putting QR codes on the helmets. It will be interesting to monitor this story and see how much money they raise. Then next from the New York Times, mortgage rates fell again this week, providing some relief to home buyers and attracting more sellers from the sidelines, obviously. The average rate on a 30-year mortgage, the most popular home loan in the United States still, fell to 6.35% this week, Freddie Mac reported on Thursday. That was down from 6.46% average just a week earlier and the lowest level since May of 2023. Up next, Milwaukee was very connected this week. We'll tell you all about it and what it could mean to the future of convention businesses right here in downtown Milwaukee. This is The Upswing, joined this morning by Rich Kirchen, senior reporter at the Milwaukee Business Journal. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined in studio by senior reporter at the Milwaukee Business Journal, Rich Kirchen. A big convention, Connect Marketplace 2024, ended yesterday in downtown Milwaukee. Many are saying it could ultimately generate more dollars and have a bigger impact on the tourism economy than the RNC. There were meeting planners everywhere in downtown Milwaukee. I was out and about during lunch hour, saw just lanyards with states from across the country. Really good to see. But while people were from everywhere, mainly they were in awe of the new Baird Center here in downtown Milwaukee. WTMJ's Eric Bilstead was there too, and he filed this report.
We're in one of the big convention halls here at the brand new Baird Center, and the place is bustling. It's full of event planners who are perusing rows and rows of possible venues.
The booths are all destinations, and the attendees who are coming to this are, we have over 1,000 meeting planners, and these are the people that are looking for destinations and facilities to bring their future events to.
Wisconsin Center District CEO Marty Brooks, he runs the Baird Center, and he's smiling today. More on that in a minute. So these event planners are everywhere, checking out possible venues, these sites, ideas for their clients.
So I have several companies. We do corporate events, and we do corporate events across the country. So I have a couple clients in mind that either want to do something where it's experiential, they want to do a corporate holiday party maybe, like a large one.
Nicole O'Leary works for We Crush Events. She's based out of Dallas, but originally from Milwaukee. A lot of these event planners here have clients who want to host something big and bold.
They have a lot of expectations, and they always want something new, and our company keeps the finger on the pulse. So we like to do like fun and different experiences, and this is a great place to for all of these companies to be able to represent what they can do and bring to the table, and then we bring these ideas back to my team, and then I tell them what ones I think would go best for whatever client.
So that means every exhibitor here is looking to make a splash.
What about it is impressive?
Well, let's start with the puppy booth to the right.
Yeah, you heard that right. Visit Reno brought dogs.
They have all these really cool things. Skateboarders back there. They have pickleball tournament. They have all these really cool visual effects. The food is amazing. They have drinks everywhere. And out of all of those, the puppy booth by far is the best one.
So you're going to have to book them now. I got to go to Reno.
Yeah, absolutely. Just for the puppies.
Visitors may remember the pups, but perhaps the largest exhibitor here will make the biggest impact. And that's the new Baird Center itself.
The center is gorgeous. We have had the best morale while we've been here because it's just such a fun convention center to be in.
Tinsley Conley is with Connect, the company organizing this event.
I have seen so many people from different destinations walk in and see these windows and go, oh my gosh, this is awful for us because this is going to bring so much business to Milwaukee instead of their destination.
So what do you mean by the windows? When someone hears that, what exactly is it about the windows that would make this space so great?
When you walk into most convention centers, you kind of feel like you're in a dungeon because there's no outside light coming in. So when you walk into this convention center, having floor-to-ceiling windows on the right side and just having that natural light come in, it's just increasing people's serotonin, making them happier. Being able to see what time of day it is, what the weather looks like, it just changes the whole vibe in the center.
And it's just another reason why event planners like Nicole are impressed.
It's beautiful. It's great. It's clean. Well, this is amazing. I'm very impressed. Yes.
So you could see a place like this working.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Oh, yeah. There's lots, and it's huge.
And hearing that is music to Marty Brooks's ears.
To be able to showcase our city coming off of the RNC, 4 years ago, a revised DNC, there's such a buzz about Milwaukee, the success of the Bucks. It's the timing and the stars have aligned, so we're at a good place at a good time.
At the Baird Center, Eric Bilstead, WTMJ News.
Connect Marketplace 2024 just ended yesterday. Rich, what's the importance of these large-scale conventions? Obviously, on the heels of the RNC in Milwaukee, what are you hearing on your end?
Yeah, so this was like a convention about conventions, you know. So I know that Visit Milwaukee and obviously Marty Brooks, they were very excited about the fact that we could the community and the hospitality industry in town here could roll right through the RNC into this event. I mean, they specifically mentioned this. So yeah, it's sort of like the Baird Center had a big debut. Milwaukee was on the national international stage. So They're trying to capture the momentum that they have from the RNC and this new building.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, $456 million expansion, 6 weeks after the RNC, just to have meeting planners in from across the country. And it really shows that the right move was to add more natural light in a marquee outdoor space at the Baird Center. When you go onto that observation deck, it's kind of like, whoa. Like, if you're in a meeting all day, you're able to get outside, you're able to see the entire city and really get the idea of, hey, the size and scale of downtown Milwaukee, and hopefully then say, wow, I want to bring my next convention to downtown. So it's good to see that the Baird Center's convention or their expansion plans are indeed working. Next up, Harley-Davidson's DEI walkback, and what a local influencer, not a local influencer, a national influencer did to spur what Harley had to say about its DEI initiatives. This is The Upswing. You're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined by Rich Kirchen from the Milwaukee Business Journal today. Fast and furious business headlines. A big thank you to the 262 fan, alerting us that the YouTube stream is down. We've corrected that, or YouTube has corrected it. It should be up and running again. So if you're watching live, all systems are a go. One system that isn't totally a go, Milwaukee-based Harley-Davidson has faced some criticism, Rich, led by a conservative social media influencer, Robbie Starbuck. He's gone after a bunch of companies nationally about their DEI initiatives. What has Harley-Davidson done, and kind of what impact could that have on their future?
Well, so Robbie Starbuck, who's in the Nashville area, he's got about 500,000 followers on Twitter and or YouTube. Sort of has an outside influence, it seems, on he's taken up the anti-diversity, equity, inclusion campaign. And Harley was the third company that he targeted, started with Tractor Supply and John Deere, and they quickly dropped their DEI programs. Most of these programs are internal programs based on the company's human resources practices, looking to attract, recruit, retain more minority employees and promote within. Harley-Davidson was again his third target, and within I don't know, it's 3 or 4 weeks of when he started, he posted a video on YouTube that did get about 2 million views. The story got picked up by Fox News. There were some interviews, I think, on Fox with Harley riders at the Sturgis get together in South Dakota. People very upset about when they heard about the company's DEI practices, and Harley did, somewhat surprisingly, I thought, because it was just seemed sudden, announced that they were essentially dropping their whole DEI policy, which again involved both in terms of recruiting employees, but then also training programs, internal groups. A lot of large corporations will have minority employee groups, just for people to network. LGBTQ, and then also minority supplier programs. Mm-hmm. Harley said, first of all, that they had already dropped their diversity officer position, but then they were getting rid of everything else.
So what does this say to potential employees? I mean, the recruitment retention world that we all live in is pretty, it's getting more and more challenging. Is there going to be an impact on the culture of the company, and then for employees looking at Harley, hey, is this a place I want to go work?
Well, the companies like Harley that have walked back their DEI programs say their goal, I mean, it's always been the goal to hire the best people for and the right people for their openings, and promote again into the executive ranks. What message does it send? Obviously, there's no specific goal of recruiting minorities or making employees who are LGBTQ more comfortable in the workplace.
What are you hearing from reaction from other CEOs and HR leaders around the area?
I did reach out to about a dozen larger employers in Southeast Wisconsin that, you know, have been very, you know, promoting their DEI programs, and only heard back from about half of them, which was maybe a sign of they don't even want to go there. The six I did hear back from all said we are keeping our programs. We're proud of them. We're happy with them. Also reached out to the Metropolitan Milwaukee Association of Commerce, which has a multi-year DEI initiative, voluntary, but about 130 companies are participating. They said about 40-some percent of the employment base in MMAC membership. They're going to continue their program. They're going to tweak it some, but it's companies that are, you know, been, again, networking with each other, trying to do best practices for DEI.
Welcome back to the Friday Upswing Business Headlines with Rich Kirchen, senior reporter at the Milwaukee Business Journal. Commerce and community. Next three stories we're going over. Irish Fest attendance. And Rich, what do you know about Irish Fest? It was a little rainy during Irish Fest this year, wasn't it?
Yes, well, yeah. Drew Dawson and on our staff wrote the story, but, you know, made the reference to, well, it was, the weather was like it, Ireland, but that's not what you want for Irish Fest. So,
that is true.
So the rain, they felt like the rain definitely held down their attendance, and they were down about 20% from last year. So after the previous couple of years, they had been up, and they were hoping that trend would continue this year. So a little bit of a step back.
Okay. All right. Well, other creative ways to continue to drive revenue and sponsorship. They got the entire off season to look at that, as all festivals on Milwaukee's beautiful lakefront do. Vivarium is a new club on Milwaukee's east side owned by the Pabst Theater Group. They have some early returns in. What do you know here, Rich? 450 capacity at this club, right?
Yeah, it's, and it replaced, they had the Collectivo back room a few blocks away on Prospect for a number of years. So Pabst Theater Group wanted to have another smaller venue available, one that they controlled. And it opened earlier this year. And they're saying that so far, very good, you know, that they've they put on a lot of shows there, and attendance has been strong. And, you know, they're anticipating lots and lots of bookings the balance of the year.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like a good niche for some of the, you know, the touring bands that aren't super big, that maybe couldn't sell 1,000 or 2,000 seats at a little larger venue, to have an up close and intimate experience. Also, I mean, just looking at ticket prices, what was the last concert you saw? What was the last ticket you bought
the
for
last
a concert?
Ticket I bought. Well,
dollars and cents.
There were
Rich.
A couple this spring. One was at the Vivarium.
Okay.
A band called Luna.
Right.
I'm sure everybody out there enjoys some Luna. Yeah, sort of a 90s band was touring again. And but again, for that kind of show, I think it was about $50.
Okay.
So pretty reasonable.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously a cheaper ticket price than going to see something at a much larger venue, the amphitheater, a Fiserv Forum. I'm looking at, you know, what we paid to see Keith Urban, got Founders Club tickets through a secondary source. Great seats, came with three drinks and admission to Summerfest, but we paid $184 to get into that show. It was amazing. I loved it. But it's cool to see a smaller venue. I'm just looking at their schedule here. There's a local hip hop act there tonight, a Timeless Night. Tickets are only $10 to get in. So it gives that kind of that easy ticket price approach to see a variety of different acts. Speaking of ticket prices, tonight the Badgers play Western Michigan in Madison, 8 p.m. kickoff. You can get in tonight. What do you think the lowest price I'm seeing on Ticketmaster is?
Well, I know only because you told me before we went on the air, so please do share.
All right, $5 to sit in Section BB, which is up top, row 32. So $5 is the lowest price gets you into Camp Randall tonight. So you enjoy college football. I know it's not a marquee Big Ten matchup, but you can get in, see some good college football for $5 tonight. All right. What do you know about 90s 2K Cafe coming to downtown Milwaukee. I think this ties in to the to what we were talking about before, the increased convention business in downtown Milwaukee. Convention goers want a variety of things to do after the convention closes. And one of those things, when you're in a convention town, you want a place to go and dance. I think you
Well, speak
Rich.
For yourself, Jeff. I want to go somewhere and snap my fingers anyway. And apparently the 90s 2K Cafe on King Drive, right, you know, a block to the east of Fiserv Forum is opening up. And yeah, you know, if you're feeling nostalgic for the 90s, that's what they're looking at. So, yeah, I mean, it's sort of fun. They're having fun with it. You know, they're going to have some landline phones on display.
Nice.
You know, what else did they say here? You know, they're going to have some CDs, VHS tapes. I don't know if they're going to actually be playing VHS tapes. Right. But, yeah, a lot of 90s references. But then, yeah, the 90s music, they're going to have a DJ booth. And, you know, the first thing a lot of people think of is Nirvana or that, you know, sort of grunge sounds, which was certainly part of the 90s. But I, you know, helping Linda Spice on our staff who was writing the story, I looked up the top 100 songs of the 90s. And as far as singles, it's a lot of dance music. You know, yeah. Janet Jackson was still in there. I mean, Whitney Houston, it's easy to forget.
Yep.
Hip hop crossover stuff that was popular.
And it's still, you know, that stuff is reemerging and really popular again on TikTok and with younger generation. So you get that cross-generational mix at those, at these type of places. Jake and his brother Seth are the co-owners. They used to own Have a Nice Day Cafe and Suite in the same space. Also used to be a place called the Pub Club. So most recently, I think it was Howl at the Moon was at this space, which was one of those dueling piano bars, which also was opened to get to take a portion of that convention crowd and that downtown goer crowd. So we're interested to see how they do, but I think it's definitely a trend that convention goers and just kind of the downtown party crowd is looking for. It opens next weekend in downtown Milwaukee. Coming up next, new housing in Pleasant Prairie and an update on Microsoft's big plans advancing. And is it advocating for a rate hike in electric rates? This is The Upswing, joined by Rich Kirchen, senior reporter at the Milwaukee Business Journal. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined by Rich Kirchen, senior reporter at the Milwaukee Business Journal. Rich, a little update in Pleasant Prairie. I want to get your insights and analysis on Microsoft's big plan advancing in Pleasant Prairie, and it's advocating for a rate hike with We Energies. How are those two tied together, and what impact could it have on us as consumers?
Yeah, well, the Mount Pleasant government just approved Microsoft wants to, they're already underway with basically been approved for their first two of three data centers. And, they just recently this week got approval for starting to move the dirt. They don't have a detailed plan yet for the third, data center. So this is, it's hard to visualize or understand how big this is, but data centers, it's going to be a huge campus, $3 billion or more invested. They are huge users of energy. And here's the connection to the rates that we're paying We Energies for gas and electric. We Energies has a rate increase case right now before the Public Service Commission. And Microsoft just recently filed what's called testimony with the PSC in support of the rate increase, saying We Energies needs more money to build more infrastructure because of big projects, including, I mean, Microsoft is the biggest of the big.
Right.
Once the thing is up and running, it's going to be about 1/6 of all the power used in the We Energies footprint. So there's going to be future projects that also have to be funded to increase the electric supply, so to speak.
So the larger benefit is, and hey, the rate hike could help increase opportunity for more businesses and
more
all the runoff businesses from Microsoft.
More income tax revenue, more property tax revenue. And I did talk to Tom Content from the Citizens Utility Board. It's a consumer advocacy group. And he said, I mean, part of what Microsoft is saying is they'll pay their own way. Like if We Energies builds new lines for their or new connections for their plant, they'll pay for that. But again, the consumer advocates will be watching this very closely to make sure that you and I and Joe's Grocery on the corner don't have to pay for it.
Right. So Microsoft still needs village approval for the detailed site and architectural plans before it can receive building permit to move the entire project forward. New housing in Pleasant Prairie, a national developer looking at some new high-end developments there.
Yeah, 700 apartment units, high end is what they're saying. Yeah. Average rent about $1,800 a month, which puts it on the higher side of things. And that's in a that one is still it's a proposal still pending. There still might be some adjustments made, but that's on top of other. There's just a lot of new residential development, both single family and multifamily in Pleasant Prairie.
Yeah, and like a lot of these new housing development announcements, developers saying that the project probably isn't 100% feasible without substantial assistance from the village. So that's something to keep an eye on for sure.
Yeah.
All right. When we come back, where do the Packers fall in the new Forbes list of the most valuable NFL franchises? This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ.
Hot dog, get your hot dogs here. Hot and fresh hot dogs.
Hot diggity dog, it's baseball season. Wisconsin's Afternoon News has partnered up with Vienna Beef to bring you Brewers Ticket Tuesday.
Tune in every Tuesday during the 3 o'clock hour for your chance to win a pair of tickets for an upcoming Tuesday home game for the Milwaukee Brewers.
Nothing says summer like a hot dog in baseball, and we've got both on Wisconsin's Afternoon News.
On the home of the Brewers, WTMJ.
Hi, this is WTMJ's Jeff Sherman with a few words about my good friends at Horicon Bank. For more than 125 years, Horicon Bank has built a foundation of beneficial relationships with their customers. Now serving the greater Milwaukee area with branches in Wauwatosa, right there at the Mayfair Collection. That's my hometown, Wauwatosa, New Berlin, Menominee Falls, and Grafton. Horicon Bank is eternally linked to the growth and prosperity of the families and businesses in the community. Together, doing good. That's Horicon Bank's vision. For all of your commercial and personal banking needs, Horicon Bank truly is the natural choice. Member FDIC.
Time for a quick look at your coffee and how much it costs. It's the Upswing's Coffee Index.
Welcome back to the Upswing. We started off with gas prices. Let's end the show. Where'd you get your morning coffee? How much did it set you back? How convenient was it to walk in, walk out? Rich, I stopped at the, I love the Colativo right across from the Milwaukee Public Market. Drove by, sat in my car, used the app to order my 12-ounce, half regular, half decaf, a little splash of cream, $2.93, walked in, avoided the lines, walked back, and came to the studio. How about you? What are you paying for coffee these days?
Well, Jeff, I also went to a Colectivo, but I did it old school.
Okay.
I actually got out of my car and walked in.
All right.
I did pay with a card, not cash.
Okay.
Which is, you know, still sort of old school. But yeah, it was a Colectivo just for a small black was $2.70 plus tax. And then I bought for my friend. I'm
a big
spender.
Oh, that's a very nice thing to do.
He got a medium for $2.99, so that seems like it's probably the better value.
Yeah. Doing the 12, I usually do the 16-ounce. I just knew I'd probably get a refill here, so I want the 12-ounce route. But yeah, doing that 16-ounce route is usually a better value at most places. So noted, duly noted. Another thing that's noted, Packers valuation. Where did the Packers jump on the new Forbes list for most valuable NFL franchises, Rich?
Well, we all know the Packers are the very most valuable franchise in the universe.
Indeed, yes.
But according to Forbes, they are the 13th most valuable, which is an improvement from last year when they were 20th. And if you wanted to buy the Packers right now, if they were available, it would cost you about $5.6
billion,
which is about $1 billion more than a year ago, according to Forbes.
Wow. All right. And this year, the league-leading team valuation-wise, I mean, I think it's an easy one to guess, right?
The Cowboys, $10.1 billion. The good news is the Bears are only a little bit ahead of the Packers at $6.4 billion.
That's right. Number nine at the Bears. And then after the Bears, the Washington Commanders coming in at number 10 at $6.3 billion. You know, one thing that will be interesting looking into the future of valuations for all teams is now that the NFL has cleared up opportunity for private equity groups to buy portions of a team. I mean, how valuations have got to continue to soar.
They're just going to, next year, assuming that the NFL does allow private equity ownership, the valuations, could easily double. It's going to be crazy.
And having more resources, I think you're going to find, the salary escalation continue to grow as well.
Right. Yeah. If private equity owners start buying teams, the amount of money that Jordan Love is making now will seem like, small change.
All right. On a final note, the United Way yesterday, the United Way of Greater Milwaukee and Waukesha County aims to raise how much this year in their annual community campaign?
$57.5
million. $57.5 million budgeted. They look to increase that over their $57 million from last year, which was their target. Last year's goal was unchanged from 2022. The nonprofit group yesterday launched the campaign during an event held at the atrium of Fiserv Forum. Just a couple quick notes in terms of what United Way does with some of their key initiatives. Safe and stable housing they look at, looking to end family homelessness, reducing barriers to employment and advancement, Techquity, which promotes digital equity and inclusion and intends to provide more than 50,000 computers to people who need them by 2017. And then their fourth initiative for this upcoming year is teen mental awareness, empowering minds, which seek to elevate the mental wellness of 21,000 high school students by the year 2030. Always good work done by the good people at United Way of Greater Milwaukee and Waukesha County. Rich Kirchen, I appreciate your time this morning. Have a wonderful Labor Day weekend.